Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Permian Basin International Oil Show, the spectacular podcast party presented by the Wireline Group. We have got Dr. John Spires with us, Republican for Texas Land Commissioner. How are you doing today, sir?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic, and it is great to be here with like-minded people.
Well, I appreciate you coming out here. First of all, doctor, let's get to that first.
Yeah.
What are you a doctor of?
I am a heart surgeon.
Oh, no kidding.
I was. I came here and trained with Dr. DeBakey, practiced for years, loved it, got hurt. Let me tell you a secret. Nobody wants a one-handed heart surgeon.
Nope. Not even. Even with robotics.
No, not at all. But you know what you do, especially here in Texas. When you get down there and you, life has thrown you a curve and you hit that ground real hard, and you got a mouthful of dirt.
That is exactly. Sometimes you just got to keep going.
You spit it out and you find something else. I think you've got a story like that too.
You know, we talked off the air about my colon cancer survival story, and we talked more about the actual system than anything else.
Absolutely.
And we can get in that for another day for another podcast, but it's nice to have an actual doctor who understands the impact of policy, understands the impact of humanity. I mean, doctors, I have a whole new respect for nurses and doctors than I ever did through my journey of my cancer survival, because quite honestly, the box that's developed by the system can really restrict somebody's mental, spiritual, and personal freedoms.
Absolutely. And you know, they're really trying to do this to us more and more. And when I got hurt, I went back to law school. And so many people, as we're engaged, we're studying the law and the intricacies of the law. For me, it was an epiphany. I learned that the laws are supposed to do many, many things for us, but instead they allow nameless, faceless bureaucrats to do things to us and to control us. And so that's a real challenge. And in fact, right now, to think that we have so many like-minded people here trying to power not only the United States, but the world, that they drive this huge energy production that we need, that have taken us out of the Dark Ages, the Stone Ages, to modern world. It is so exciting to be here, but it's very frustrating to know people are trying to clamp down on it. You're the climate warrior here, right? You took them down.
Mm-hmm.
You showed them that
Earth's
they are
champion,
Earth's
baby.
Champion.
Johnny Green.
That's
that's his name, Earth's champ.
But you see, that's what we've got to do. We have to be prepared to take the battle to them, because they're trying to destroy our way of life. They're trying to destroy our future. They're trying to reduce us to a level that we fought so hard to rise up from. That's the problem.
And
we want to elevate
by
people.
We are talking about the people that are making decisions in the shadows.
In the shadows.
People are in the private rooms making the decisions for their appointed leaders, if you will.
I will. I agree.
So I want to ask you about the land commissioner role, because up in North Dakota, we've got an ag commissioner.
Correct.
We've got a public service commissioner. You've
Correct.
Got a Texas Railroad Commission that monitors everything, and they actually do railroads still. But what does the land commissioner do?
Well, you know, the Bureau of Land Management is the federal agency that manages federal lands. But when Texas joined the Union, when we allowed the United States to be a part of Texas, we like to push that way,
mm-hmm.
we kept our public land. And so the land office in the state of Texas is responsible for all the public land.
I didn't even know that.
That's a trick. See,
are you for real?
I'm for real. We own the public land. The citizens of Texas have about 13 million acres. We have about 2 million acres offshore. Other states can go out of just a few miles. Texas goes out 10.35 miles out into the Gulf of Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Texas has a lot of land. To give you an idea of how much land that is, the state of West Virginia is about 15 million acres. Delaware, where this guy, what's his name? Joe Biden, where he's from.
Who's that?
Some guy on TV. He's got a set. He's got a show.
I got rid of my TV in 2006, so I'm not even sure.
You actually are smarter than most, just for that reason alone. So they have like 1.575 million acres. State of Texas has about eight times as much public land as that entire state. So, yeah, we've got a lot of stake.
Well, we're from North Dakota. We've got a lot of private land
right
up there. And so when I was we do a lot with the Native Americans here at the Crude Life, MHA Nation primarily.
Right.
And we had either We'll say David Williams, the CEO, president of Missouri River Resources.
Yeah.
I apologize if I forget if he's the CEO or the president, but he's one of the decision
makers. He's a wheel. Maybe. Yeah, he's a big wheel.
He pointed out to me something very interesting, that when a private company goes into North Dakota, in 3 days, they got a lease. They got a permit ready to go. When a Native American company goes in there to try to drill on some federal land through the BLM,
right,
it's a 49-step process that takes 6 to 9 months. You want to talk about a level playing field. Holy cow, did that open my
exactly.
eyes. So Senator John Hoeven, along with a number of other Western senators, came in and made this streamlined system. I think out of Denver where it ended up. But wow, I mean, when you start thinking about that perspective, that a private company can come in with private ways, 3 days versus the government? Whew.
And it is a shame. Here in Texas, we are trying to make the land office here even more friendly, because we know our partnership with oil and gas producers is so important. That's a large part of what the land we manage goes for. We lease it for oil and gas production, but we also have things like beryllium, a rare earth element. We have uranium. We have gold and silver. And so we try to maximize our resources and preserve the land for the people of Texas. I mean, what's wrong with making money that's going to go to educating our school kids and protecting Texas? And, of course, we do some other things like protect our border, and we honor our veterans and our beaches. We help with disaster recovery. All of those are important.
You know, it's interesting how we talk about the land. When it comes to agriculture, corn, cotton, soybeans, we call that a natural resource, and we have no commodity. We have no problem harvesting that. When we start trying to harvest things underground, that seems to be an issue for some people out there. It's, you know, and I look at it no different, that farmer that has the right to grow crops, he's got every right to go under and harvest that natural resource too. Not everybody agrees with us on that, but.
Well, you know, a lot of folks, they are so adamantly opposed to the very thing that has made us into the great nation that we are, that has given us this opportunity. If you tried to build an electric car without using fossil fuel, good luck. It's not going to happen. You know, the microphones that we're using right now have components in them that are manufactured from petroleum.
Mm-hmm.
The cell phones that people use, you know, you look around in kids, they've got their cell phone out all the time. If you took away the oil and gas industry, it wouldn't be there. Not but just because of the power. The power is important. But because of the chemicals that go into it. Where do they come from? They come out of the ground, people.
That's right. And, you know, when we actually won the championship belt, it was because our saying was renewables ain't doable without fossil fuelables.
I think you're right. Absolutely.
And we were the only ones that brought in science with entertainment, whereas everybody else brought in platitudes of fear and act now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, fear sells.
Fear sells. But, you know, when you show people the simplicity of what you're offering, you know, think about it. We take a resource. We're using it to power not just Texas, but the nation. We're using it to power the rest of the world. We can export natural gas to other nations and help them rise instead of going just wholeheartedly into this fossil fuel business, in the renewable business, and not really lifting people, but actually sinking them. You know, we'll sink into the depths of despair rather than raising everyone. Fossil fuels allow us to develop the future, and the future will certainly have a role for renewables, but they're not getting there without fossil fuels.
I actually believe, and I talked to the Jim Wright with the Texas Railroad Commission about this, and the Crude Life is a non-political platform, and we allow people to talk politics, but we're just not going to throw fuel on the fire. We're going to have civil discourse, okay?
Correct.
And, you know, people need to have more of that, so we try to do that. One of the things that we do get political on, because we do step up on that oil drum every now and then, because, you know, it used to be a soapbox, but now it's an oil drum, because stuff does bother us.
Oh,
we
yeah.
We are humans.
Absolutely.
And the one thing that's very interesting to me, and you as a public officer, let's call it that, a civil servant, if you will, whatever we want to call it, elected official, I'm asking for your help on how to communicate with the average person when it comes to the energy industry as a whole.
Okay. Yeah.
150 years ago, 160 years ago, Abe Lincoln was in office, so whatever that time was, we were using wood and hay.
Correct.
To power our homes, power our lives. Well, then a bunch of people in power said, let's go kill all the whales and use whale blubber. So people in power said, let's go get the whales.
Yep.
And then they started whale season and a whole economy around it. Well, then coal came around. And all of a sudden, save the whales came.
Right.
Well, as soon as oil came, the whales were gone. They were fine. Everything's getting back to normal. Point is, we had hay and wood. We had whales. We had coal. We had crude oil. Now we're down to natural gas. We went from all kinds of molecules of carbon down to 1 to 4.
Right.
Maybe 6 if we're talking about a different kind of a unique methane, pentane, whatever. Butane. We've been decarbonizing for over 150 years as a species on our own. Long before the Sierra Club came along, long before Greta Thunberg came along, they're just kind of jumping on a movement that was already happening.
And it's naturally occurring. If you look at emissions since the EPA regulations really ramped up, we have outperformed everything that they could have done. We have more people on the road. We have more cars on the road. We're burning more fuel. More petroleum products are being consumed now than ever before. And yet in the United States, our emissions are far lower than they have been in many, 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 since the 70s. Now, we've done that without making this foolish leap to an entirely renewable industry. If we go renewable, here in Texas, we saw that if you turn off the power to the oil and gas plants, to the fossil fuel powered plants that are generating your electricity, you're in a world of hurt. Every other nation that has tried to mix wind power, solar power, and fossil fuel power, they recognize you have to have fossil fuels. The other two are just a little frosty, okay? Mm-hmm. We need to rely on what works, what we can depend on, and what's going to carry us to the future. That future will be different, but we won't get there without using what works today.
One last question before we let people know how they can donate some money to your cause and what the websites are and all that fancy stuff. But another thing I talked to the railroad commissioner about was wind energy.
Right.
Now, you know, when it comes to solar, I think solar will get there as soon as they figure out the terawatt of battery storage on an economical level. And honestly, after 30 years, I'm not buying it anymore. Show me, you know, I'd rather see the subsidies go away and see the marketplace
right.
take care
of it. When they do it, show me.
Yeah. And honestly, after 30 years and billions of dollars, the solar industry has brought us a decent, affordable camping battery. That's it.
Yeah.
And I'm being totally serious.
No, absolutely.
To the average consumer. Wind energy now. Okay, this one, we pumped more money into the Saudi Arabia wind up in North Dakota than I think any other state in the nation, right? That's what Byron Dorgan was going around back in the 90s saying, we're the Saudi Arabia of wind, okay? We had plants and everything that have gone out of business. I truly believe in my heart of hearts, the Amish are more advanced with their wind turbines than we are with ours, okay? Because if you can put up a wind turbine in a weekend with your neighbors and power your pole barn and get water, you are far more advanced than what we're doing because we don't have any way to recycle them and we do not have a reclamation program for them and we keep building them.
We keep building them and we build them in places that they may produce power there. But power is useful where? Not where you produce it or where you consume it. We have to get it to where it's consumed.
Yes.
And if you're making it in the area where it is going to be consumed by transmission cost, just loss along the regular transmission lines, it makes no sense at all. Why invest in that? Why put a resource, equipment in a place where it's going to be expensive to erect, expensive to maintain, never actually pay itself off, and just really serves no purpose. We've got to do better.
Well,
we've got to do a lot better.
Hopefully, Dr. John Spires got it right, right?
Yeah, you did, man.
I didn't even look at my phonetics there. We were joking because our names are only like one letter off, and so all the different pronunciations of Spies and Spires and Spears and Spiss. FEMA called me Spiss. Most people call me species or spies, right?
Well,
FEMA the government agency calls me spiss. It spissed me off.
Well, and you know, I don't have an H in my name. We were joking earlier. My family was poor. We couldn't buy the H, so it's J-O-N. So there you go.
That's the way it is, baby. Well, let's get you some money, man. How can people, Republican for Texas Land Commissioner,
right,
Dr. John Spires, how can people support your cause?
Well, they can go to my website, www.drjohnspires.com, and we'll be happy to entertain questions. We'd love contributions. We'd like to enlist everyone's help, because this is a fight for the state of Texas, but it's a fight for the soul of the nation, because here in Texas, we know that if we fall, the rest of the nation is going to suffer greatly, and we're not going to let that happen. No one, people like you and me, not going to happen.
Amen to that.
Thank
Doctor,
you, sir.
Thank you very much. And as, of course, that final thought, I just want to point out that is the continuation of the 7-year story that we're continuing, that the last bastion for ethical capitalism is the oil and gas industry. And if it goes away, I'm not sure what to tell you, folks, because that is the last place where an idea can become a company and create a millionaire that empowers a community within a year. I've never seen it in any other industry. In my entire life, I have the oil and gas industry. So as I continue to hammer home the last bastion for capitalism, in my opinion, seems to be the oil and gas industry. Dr. John Spires, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Permian Fantastic. Basin International Oil Shield Podcast Party, brought to you by the Wireline Group.